So today's reading is from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Amen.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. You know, I have an advantage. Whenever I walk onto a stage, I know exactly what you are thinking. Right? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, that is a tall, big loaf or man. And I always tell people, it's really all about perspective. And life is about perspective, really, because I grew up with four brothers, and I am the shortest. I always struggle with that, being the shortest of my brothers, but not really. But that's true. I am the shortest. Well, I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here this evening. And I know we're all very different. We come from different places, right? Different families, different upbringing, different countries. But of course, we have one thing in common, and that is that we are disciples of Christ. And if we are disciples of Christ, it's in our heart to learn and grow and be used by him in this world. Now, I grew up without any knowledge of the gospel. I really knew nothing till I was about 21, and me and my brothers, we embarked on a quest for truth. What is truth? How can you know truth? It's called epistemology for those that study theology. But we were just struggling. How do we know? What is the reason I'm here? Why do I live? You know, where will I end up? What is the purpose of it all? And my brother, he left on a motorcycle, and he took with him a Bible that someone had given to him while he was at university. And he graduated already, and he was so struggling with life and the purpose of it. And during his trip, he read the Bible back to back, and he discovered what we call the order of salvation. He says in a little tent in southern France, he met the Lord Jesus. Of course, he didn't meet Jesus, but he understood life, the purpose of life, and that he was a sinner. And he committed his life to the Lord on his own without anyone's involvement or preaching or teaching. And God transformed him. Now, when he came back, I thought he was confused when he left. When he came back, I thought he completely lost it. No, really. He said, "How? I know it. It's in the Bible." And then he started to quote these verses. And it actually helped me. Then the whole family embarked on that same journey to really find truth. And I came to Christ at a little table in somebody's home when I asked him one more time to explain the gospel, Old Testament, New Testament, and I gave my life to God. And as I went to church after that, I found a church, I started to go to church, I started in 10 meetings, I went to the prayer meeting, I went to the Bible study, but I had something was uneasy in me because I often thought, what does a new believer really do? Of course, yeah, go to church, you go to the prayer meeting, you sit here on Sunday night, all very good thing. Was I a true disciple? Eh? I was a follower, but what are the instructions? What is God's plan after we become a believer, a follower of Christ? And about 6 months after my conversion, I really discovered God's kingdom drama, God's plan that is sort of rolling through the centuries and that he will bring to completion at his timing, God's plan, God's rescue plan. And in every gospel, we read about this great commissioning, his plan, but of course, never so as clear, although we see it throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, never as clear is in Matthew as in Matthew 28, 16 to 20. And we read that earlier. Very well-known verse. I will not read it again, but we all know it. By the way, I have my Bible upside down. So I couldn't read it, really. But we know that it is really the Great Commission. It's really where the 11 disciples left for Galilee. They go to the mountain, and there, you know, they wait for Jesus. They worship him. Some doubted. Then Jesus came, and then he says, "I have been given complete authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples." It's here. It's there. You see, they worship as some doubt. Then he says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the ages. This is really God's great commission to us. Yeah, we can make disciples of all nations. How can we make disciples of all nations? Through the instructions that he has given to us in Matthew 28. And that's really what I'm going to speak about this evening. A little bit of background. After Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the third day, but before his ascension to heaven, he actually speaks to his disciples. He appears. He meets them on a mountain, as we know, and it says some doubted, or many believe, many theologians believe there were more than just the 12 disciples there. And some doubted, it says, but he gives the final commandment to his disciples. The last bit there in Matthew. First, in verse 18, he gives a statement of power. Now, of course, the disciples knew the power of Jesus, right? They'd seen him. They'd seen him walk across water. They'd seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. I mean, they'd seen the power of Jesus. But at that time, Jesus is standing in front of him, raised from the dead, alive, standing there. And then after that statement of power and authority, he gives the Great Commission with instructions how we can make disciples. And the first instruction that he gives is by going to the nations. That is verse 19. He orders us to go. And it's very simple. It's not like, go if you like, go if you want, go if you're, you know, want to go, whatever. It is really, it's like an instruction, like a commandment, like a general who tells his soldiers to go. You know, like in the old, you know, First World War, when they were in the trenches and they gave the signal to go. I mean, they were all came up and they went. So that is sort of the commandment he gives, to go. This was very new for the Jews because Matthew was speaking to Jewish believers. And you know, the Jews had no idea to go. They were focused on their own Jewish nation. So it was a very new commandment that he gave, and that commandment is given to the New Testament church. That has been given to you and me. Because the New Testament church, through the church and through its membership, it's given to all believers, to you and me, every believer. New to the Jews, but very real. It's the foundation of authority for the Jews, believers, to go to the Gentile. It was a call. And all of us are called to go. Now, let me explain that. Because when I came to Christ, as I said, you know, I was a new believer. And I was eager to learn to grow and be used by God. But I didn't quite understand what my mandate was, what God called me to do. And I remember I was in a meeting and someone spoke. And he really spoke about missions and God's call on our lives. And I remember he gave three challenges. He said, he asked us to pray, to give, and to go. That was the challenge. And sometimes I think, as believers, and I believe most of us here are true believers, I think sometimes first we need to come to Christ. And then I almost believe we need a second experience. And that second experience is that we come to the point in our lives where we surrender and we say, God, I am willing to go. That is that total surrender. I'm willing to go, I'm willing to give, yeah, and I'm willing to pray to support what you have called us to do in this world. That call is unchanged. That call is timeless. It's a universal claim for all churches. Christians must witness worldwide to the nations. Now, of course, it says to the nations. What does that mean when he said that, when he asked us to go? It is, of course, we often think of nations. Look at the flags, and of course, they were very smart here. This morning, there was an Italian speaker, right? Italian flag. Now, you guess what that flag is. That is a Dutch flag. And, you know, whenever I walked in this sanctuary, I saw that Dutch flag. I'm going back home, actually. After this, I'm going home. I haven't been there for a while. But when we think of nations, we think of, you know, geographical, you know, entities, governments. But really, the word here is ethnos in verse 19. And that really means tribes or language groups or nations or people groups. That is what God has called us to go to the different people groups. Now, with the ship, that is our heart. And you saw the ship. The ship is actually embracing that commandment to go into this world. And a ship goes from port to port to really give a great boost to God's work in that port city or in that nation and making a difference. Now, we have been at it. How long have we been at the Great Commission? 2,000 years about, right? 2,013 years or whatever. And many ask me, are we not done? How far are we? You know, God gave us that commandment a long time ago. Where are we today? Now, much has happened, really. And in the last two decades, an enormous advancement of the global church around the world. And it's phenomenal. But much is still to be done. We are not done yet. Of the 100 largest people group, unreached people groups, 100 are in India. 100 or four, no, that's not, erase that. Of the 100 largest unreached people group, 48 are in India. We have 3,000 workers in India trying to reach these unreached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, you know, we see around the world, the ship is now going to the Arabian Gulf. We know the world of Islam is largely unreached and a big barrier for us believers to reach with that beautiful message of redemption. So the first instruction is to go to the nations. And we're all called to do that in different ways, by praying, by giving, by going, but it's for the New Testament church. The second instruction is by baptizing new believers. How do we do it? We go and we baptize new believers. It's given, again, to every New Testament church through its members' responsibility. I wrote down it's a binding mandate. It's not the only one, but really it is an important mandate. In Dutch we have a saying. Is there any Dutchman in the room? No. So I can make this up right now. Now, we have a saying, it says in Dutch, een kerk die niet werft, sterft. Now, you think, what's that? It means, you know, a church that doesn't recruit or doesn't baptize will die. That's what it means. And it's very, very true, actually, because that baptizing is very important. And let me explain to you. I remember always when we have baptism service, the joy when people get baptized, the joy of a new believer in front of a church confessing his faith in Christ. The new step, the obedience to the Father, like Jesus, not casual, but a big deal. And I remember when I got baptized, you know, I came to Christ and my dad was in the town where I grew up, you think I'm big. My dad was not as tall as I was, but he was sort of a larger-than-life figure. Many people know him. And when we became Christians, he really struggled. Now, he struggled, but it was still, I had a good understanding with him. But when I made the choice to become baptized, he came to me, he pulled me aside. He said, Hans, he said, if you go ahead and you go get baptized, you can pack your bags and leave. He said, you either stand with what I taught you, the values and what I taught you, or you, if you go ahead with that, you leave. And I told my dad, that's really not a fair choice. I got baptized and I did leave the house, actually. I had to pack my bags and leave. And why is that? Why did I have to go? Because baptism reveals the true believer. It really does. It is public, it is powerful, and it's final. My baptism was a confrontation with my dad, because when I said that, I was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Not as a formula, but really as a picture of the Trinity, but also as a representation of what happened in my life. So as we preach the gospel and we baptize people, what becomes visible? What becomes visible is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And baptism is a very public and powerful image and picture. So new converts, they identify themselves with the gospel of Jesus Christ by how they die and are buried and how they rise again and through that represent that new life and the gospel that Jesus has given. It builds the worldwide church. You know, first faith, then baptism, and believers are added to the global church through that baptism. And it is the first step of obedience in a new believer's life. So Jesus says, if you follow these instructions, if you go and then you baptize him, you add people to his kingdom. So that's what we're called to do. And in the ship ministry, we work very close with churches. And as we said, we had, help me, how many people? 716 people come to faith just recently in Cambodia through our help ministries. Now, we work with local churches and we want to help these people to really make that step and become part of the global church by following Christ in that step. The third instruction that Jesus gives is by teaching discipleship. That's the last one. Matthew said, go and teach all nations. He doesn't say, go and evangelize all nations. He said, go and teach all nations. And the Greek word is matheteo, and it means to instruct. Yeah? The need to understand the gospel always precedes a commitment to Christ, right? That is my story. That wrestling with truth and how do you know it and how can you follow it and embrace that is actually the story of all believers. We need to understand the gospel before we can convert to it and become a follower of Jesus. How can I believe, said the eunuch, how can I teach them all that I have commanded you? In verse 20, the emphasis is on knowing, and that's the doctrine, and then on practice, and that is doing. So it's on knowing and doing, which is doctrine and practice. And when you looked at that little clip, really, we would love to welcome you on board for 1 or 2 years, because one of the things you can be sure of in OM Ships, you will be knowing through the study program. You will learn and know doctrine. You know, the doctrine of salvation, many doctrinal statements of our faith. And you will be doing it. You will be practicing it. And that goes hand in hand, to know and to do. And that's what we really want to do in the ship ministry, as we train and equip these young people to know and to do and be involved in the gospel. All things, all scripture is given by inspiration by God and is profitable for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. To know and to do. And that's what Jesus says as he instructs us to teach. When I joined OM, short story, you know, talking about the doing. Many people talk about reaching the lost. When I joined OM Ships, the ship was in Amsterdam. It's my home city. I knew Amsterdam. So I was just fresh on that ship. And one of the leaders said, Hans, can you take me to Central Station, Amsterdam? We need to pick up someone. And I said, I'll do that. I know Amsterdam. I know how to get there. And we were North Amsterdam. And if you have the big Central Station, I know I'm sure some of you have been there. Behind Central Station is this big wide river called Het IJ. And there are these little yellow, we call them pond. How do you call it? A little ferry that ferries people with bicycles and pedestrians across. So about 30 people at a time. And they just constantly crisscross this big river. So I take this OM and I take him, and I was new, you know, I was learning and growing just like all of us, and I was new. And we walk onto this little ferry, and about 20, 30 other people walk onto the ferry, some with their bicycles, you know, this is Holland, bike. And they're standing there, and then this gentleman, Vessel was his name, just as this little ferry left the quayside, he turns to me, and we were standing in a corner, and it was open, it's all open. And he turns to me and said, Hans, how did you really come to Christ? How did you become a believer? And I look at him and I take a deep breath and then he says, just hang on a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have your attention, please? I said, this is Hans and he's got an amazing story to share with you. My first message on a little ferry behind Central Station. But of course, that is the knowing and the doing. That is what God calls us to do. As we teach and instruct, we help people to move out in faith and move out. You know, we cannot think we can change the world, declare his glory among the nation. We cannot do that without real disciples of Jesus. If we are not changed ourselves, if we're not different people, if we don't know and we're not doing it, how can we tell others about the beautiful gospel we believe in? If we live and think like non-believers, if we're no different than our unbelieving neighbors, how can we ever make a difference in this world? We cannot. That's why we are called in the New Testament church, we must be committed to making true disciples of Christ. Yeah? By going and by instructing. And as we do that, we know as we take that beautiful gospel, there are more open doors than ever before. And that's the truth. We see around the world, the opposition is bigger, but there's more open doors for the gospel than ever before. And we see it. We see it in the Muslim world as well. More people coming to Christ than ever before. But at the same time, the opposition is bigger than probably ever before. But the doors are open. Conclusion, I have to wrap it up. Really, is it possible? Can we, as a church, make disciples of all nations? Can we do that? We can. If we follow the instructions that God and Christ has given us in Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. First of all, are we willing? Are we responding to the call to make disciples of all nations? Are we willing to say, here am I, send me. Here am I, use me, God, to pray, to give, or to go. Make me part. I mean, we're just talking about Richard and Joe, you know, going out, serving here in Wales to really mobilize the church to be involved in God's kingdom work. Are we willing to pray, to give, for them to be able to go? So that instruction is there. So are we willing to say, Lord, send me to the tribes, to the nations, to the people groups? Then secondly, by following the instructions of baptizing new believers through the death, burial, and resurrection to build the church, are we willing? It's the first call of obedience as new believers. And maybe you sit it today, you've never taken that step yourself. Are we willing? Then secondly, by teaching real discipleship. People that live and think like Jesus, also willing to suffer and sacrifice, a whole other sermon, really, to follow Christ, to take up his cross and be different. The question is, are we willing to be challenged? Just like me, in that meeting, I still remember, I was shaking. It was just amazing. It was just in a meeting. It was a very simple message. When I was called, Hans, are you willing? It was after I came to Christ, months later, Hans, are you willing? And I had to say, Lord, I am willing. Send me. I am willing. And that's what God is asking of us tonight. As we, you know, look at these pictures and hear this message, and if we think of the methods and the instructions that God gives us. Are you willing to pray, to give, to go? And Jesus had a special promise to those that are obedient. To those that are obedient, he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's just bow our head and let me just pray. Lord, we thank you that we can make disciples of all nations. And if we wonder how, Lord, we thank you that you have given us these instructions in Matthew 28, how we can do that, Lord, by going to the nations. And we know, Lord, we will not go. We will not even leave our street unless, Lord, we are willing. So I pray this evening, you see each one of us. You know our hearts, Lord. And I pray this evening, if you want to say, yes, I am willing, Lord, that you will speak to us. And you will help us to make that commitment to you this evening even. And say, yes, Lord. Yes, I am willing. Second, Lord, if we, Lord, think about baptism as well. Lord, to be focused on bringing people into the kingdom. Help us, Lord, to be willing to preach and teach and bring people into the kingdom through that powerful baptism. And to be teaching true discipleship. Help us to be your disciples as we move and live in this world. We thank you for this evening as well and pray that you will complete the work you started in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.